This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Greetings to all the Capricorn FM listeners. Greetings to all the matriculants out there. It's Mr. Jore here for English First Additional Language, Paper 3. I am with Mr. Petty, who is an expert in that area. So today, we are going to focus on longer transactional texts. In the previous lesson, we focused on Section A. So today, we thought it is imperative that we also focus on Section B. And Section B covers your letters, the obituary, the review, dialogue, speech, and articles. So, boys and girls, I hope you are tuned in and you are ready to take some notes. Mr. Petty, greet the listeners, greet the matriculants, then we can start off with our lesson.
Greetings to all our grade 12 learners, the cream of 2021. And like Mr. Jore indicated, the focus is on longer transactional text. First thing first, let's look into the structure of the longer transactional text. The longer transactional text is going to be marked out of 30. So basically, your content is going to be 18 marks, and your language is going to be assessed out of 12 marks. If you were to add 12 and 18, it will surely give you 30. And candidates are expected to use between 120 and 150 words. Let me reiterate this. The word limit is very, very important. Between 120 and 150 words.
Okay, Mr. Petty. Thank you for indicating the word limit. But let's say it's a letter. When the learner has to write that letter, when he or she writes, does he or she have to go to the next page when writing it approximately, so that as they write, they have some kind of, you know, measurement to say, when I get here, I think I should start counting, so that they won't waste time on counting the number of words after writing every paragraph.
So I think the instruction is very clear to say each section should be started on a new page.
Yes.
And when we speak in terms of 120 to 150 words, if it's letters, we are excluding your addresses. So it's easy to go through the number of words that you have used. Because what is important, before we get into the nitty-gritties of how these letters should be approached, is planning. In your planning, you would have seen to say, these are the aspects that I'm going to include in my letter, and you would have seen how many words you have used. If you have used more than 150 words, then you can just go back, proofread, and make sure that you summarize whatever you have indicated there so that they don't go beyond the 150 words. Minimum 120, maximum 150 words.
Thank you so much. So you can get into the content, Mr. Petty.
So with the content in longer transactional text, like I said, 30 marks, the examiner is going to set four questions. Four questions are going to be set on this section. And these four questions that are going to be set, they are going to be set from three categories. I need to be very clear here. With this time around, we have three categories. The previous years, we normally had four categories, where each and every question will be coming from each category. But this time around, we have got three categories and four questions are going to be set. In this case, it's a minimum of one question per category and a maximum of two questions per category. Let me outline the categories now. Category A, it's your letters, your informal letter, which is your friendly letter, and your formal letter. With a formal letter, candidates should be able to respond to the letter of application. There could be a letter of request, a letter of complaint, a letter of sympathy, a letter of congratulations, and a letter of gratitude.
If you don't mind, can you run over the types of formal letters again in case some learners are taking notes out there?
The formal letters, it's a letter of request that they should expect.
Okay.
A letter of request, an application letter, wherein they will be applying, they will be responding to the advert, the business letter, letter of complaint, a letter of sympathy, a letter of expressing your congratulations, and a gratitude. Those are the kind of letters that they should expect under formal letters. That is category A. It also includes curriculum vitae, and the covering letter. That's what you have in category A.
Okay.
Then in category B, remember what I said, there's only going to be one question that is coming from this category.
Okay.
So in category B, there's also going to be another question coming from category B, which basically are your reviews, your newspaper article, your magazine article, your agenda and minutes. They are going to be asked as a combination, the formal or the informal reports and your obituary. So therefore, obituary is under category B. You want me to repeat category B?
I wanted a bit of clarity on formal and informal letters so that they know which one they have to use two addresses on before you get deep into the lesson. Because it looks like you said formal also includes which ones?
The formal letters?
Formal, yeah. It's the business, the official one.
It's the official one, yes. Okay. It's a business letter.
Okay, which ones fall under this formal?
Your letter of complaint.
Complaint?
Maybe you bought something from the shop.
Okay.
And that thing, it's not working very well. You want to complain to the store manager.
Oh, that's
a letter of complaint.
Formal.
Yes.
Okay, then another formal?
Another formal is maybe they've made an advertisement of a particular job.
Okay.
Then you are responding to the advertisement. So you are applying for a post.
Okay.
So that is also another formal.
Okay. Do we have any other formal before we focus on the informal?
We also have wherein you need to write a letter of congratulations.
Okay.
Wherein maybe somebody donated something from to your school.
Uh-huh.
Then you are also giving them thanks.
Oh,
it's a thanksgiving letter.
Okay.
You see, and sometimes maybe somebody has done something very well, they performed outstandingly so, then you are congratulating them. So that's one example that you can have as well in terms of formal letter.
So
you should not be worried in terms of the structure. We're still going to get into the nitty-gritties of the of the structure. But they should know a letter of complaint, an application letter, a letter of expressing your gratitude, a letter of congratulation.
Okay.
Then
so
they need to know those things.
If I am congratulating my friend who has just got a bursary, does it fall under formal or it's informal? I wanted clarity on
that. It's a very good question.
Okay.
Because sometimes you can congratulate your friend informally so because it's your friend.
It's your friend.
And therefore, there's no need for you to write it in the format of a business letter or a formal letter.
Right.
But there are going to be instances wherein maybe particular companies you were engaged with particular companies or institutions.
Right.
And you definitely need to respond to them in terms of maybe whatever they have achieved and this is what they need to do. So you might have to write the letter to the manager of that one, congratulating them. So you see the difference in this case.
Yeah.
It's basically the difference. It's the audience. If it's your friend, if it's your parent, then it's going to be an informal letter.
An informal letter. Thank
Perfect.
You very much for that clarity. Okay, now you can get deep into the content.
I want to go to category C before we get into the content. Category C is your dialogue.
Okay.
It's your dialogue, your written interview, your formal or informal speech. So there's not much difference between dialogue and a written interview. But the bottom line is, with dialogue, it's just a formal conversation that you might be having with your friend.
Right.
But in terms of the interview, you understand interview.
Yeah.
There has to be an interviewer and the interviewee.
And the interviewee.
In simple terms, the two guys would be, the other one would be probing questions on the other one, and the other one would be responding. And at times, the other one who was responding first could also have an opportunity to do what? To ask questions.
Okay.
And that becomes an interview and not a dialogue.
Thank you so much. I think our matriculants are getting a lot of clarity on this one. Thank you so much. You may proceed, Mr. Petty.
Now I want us to get into the details of the categories.
Okay.
You see, I remember saying in planning it's very important. We can never overemphasize this point because Everything needs to be planned. We don't only play in essay writing. We also play in real life situations. This section B,
right,
longer transactional text, there has to be a lot of planning that needs to happen. And that planning would also help you to organize your ideas like we've already indicated. And it also help you to get to know the number of words that you are using in that particular instance. Remember in section B, what is also very, very important is to look into the issue of the audience,
okay,
the purpose, and the format of the text.
Yes,
the audience, the purpose, and the format of the text. These are very important aspects. So when we look into the formal letter, either of those letters that we have highlighted, a letter of complaint, congratulatory, thanksgiving, an application letter, what is basic is that number one, we need to have the following aspects of the formal letters that must be included.
Yes.
I think you need to understand very well. I'm not saying this may be included. I'm not saying this. I'm saying this must be included.
It's not optional.
It's not optional. They must be there. If you want marks,
right,
these aspects must be included.
Okay.
The first one is two addresses.
Two addresses for formal letter.
For the formal letter. The first address is the address of the sender.
Okay.
And the second address is the address of the receiver or the recipient. But another issue that is also very important, because this is creative writing, we are not expecting candidates to punctuate the address.
Okay.
They should never ever punctuate the address. And when they write the dates should be written in full. Remember, this is creative writing. They need to express their creativity. They need to show their creativity. They should not take shortcut. Like when they write dates 02/09/2021,
it should
never be that, like that.
Okay.
It has to be written the 2nd of September 2021.
Wonderful.
Because this is creative writing. I want them to know as well, to say, the second address, if they're going to get a formal a letter there, in most cases, the examiner does not give them the second address. And this is where their creativity comes in, exactly that.
Right.
They need to know to say, if they're writing to the company, then there has the first person who is going to receive the letter should be the manager.
Okay.
It has to be very clear. It has to be the manager. Then we write the name of the company just underneath the manager. Yes. And then you write the postal address, you write the area, and then you write the area code. So if you were to count the number of, you know, lines there, they have to be 5 in simple terms.
Okay.
If you're writing to the school, then it has to be the principal, and then the name of the school, then the postal address, the area, and then the area code. If you're writing to the editor, let's say you're writing a letter to the press, because you should expect that as well.
Yes.
Then if it's to the press, then it has to be the editor. Then we need to see the name of the publication there. And then the address, the postal address, the area, and the area code.
Right. Maybe what would you advise the candidates to do when they are writing their own address? Does it have to be specifically the address of the school they are attending or their actual area, or it has to be something that they just create?
No, it should be based on creativity. We discourage issues of writing, you know, their addresses, the name of the schools and stuff, because going forward, we don't want to, when markers are marking, we don't want them to be able to identify, to say this is Dendron Secondary School, then they might have a particular attitude towards the particular script. Each script should be treated as such on merit, and therefore we discourage the names of the schools that needs to be written there. We want creativity in terms of the address, and they should know to say this is what they definitely need to go with. Let me also highlight on the second address as well, because there's a tendency that the examiner would say your local municipality, your local supermarket.
That's true.
When they said write to your local supermarket or your local municipality, we expect these candidates to be very creative, because their local municipality, my local municipality could be Makado.
Right.
Your local municipality is Mulemule.
Yes.
Somebody else is Bloberg. Somebody else is Capricorn.
Right.
So we expect them to write the mayor or the municipal manager, then they should write Bloberg municipality. They should not write local municipality.
Yes, they should indicate the actual municipality.
Exactly. Like when they say the local businessman, you don't say local supermarket. You should actually write the actual name of your local supermarket, and that's where your creativity comes into play, and you are going to be handsomely rewarded, because therefore It shows to say you understand exactly what needs to happen in this case.
And actually drawing back from the previous statement that they should be creative, even the municipality, they can actually create a name of a municipality, not their actual municipality.
Exactly. That's what we want, after all. Because these kids are going to be, I mean, our candidates are going to be exposed in reality, and they're going to face quite a lot of challenge. So they need to be, they need to expand their horizons. They need to be very broad.
Okay.
So, like I said, they should never punctuate their address.
All right.
And the date should be written in full. And we don't expect the date in the second address.
Okay.
The date is only expected in the first address, your address as the sender. The receiver's address or the recipient's address do not have a date. We don't want to see a date there.
Okay. In terms of the positions of the addresses, are we going to be particular to say the sender's address should be on the right-hand side at the top corner and the recipient's address should be on the... How is it structured?
That's really traditional, and it's a way to go as well.
Okay.
But you see, we expect variations in terms of how these candidates write addresses.
Okay.
I would give a typical example, like when some write letters to the press. They would write the receiver's address right at the top right-hand corner.
Right.
And then they would write right at the bottom. After everything, they would write the address of the editor,
right.
Which is okay, because they would say we accept variations, a variety of addresses.
Okay.
As long as these addresses are there, it's fine. But traditionally, let's have the sender's address on the top right-hand corner, and just after two lines on the left, right at the middle, let's get the address of the recipient.
Thank you.
And then immediately after that one, that was the first point. The second thing is we need to have salutation.
Okay.
With a salutation in the formal letter, it's dear sir or madam. It has to be very clear. Dear sir or madam. But if you know the person who is going to receive your letter, then you can write dear Mr.
Jore,
you know, and it's okay. But the difference, it's going to be in your conclusion of the letter. Because now that you wrote Dear Jore there as the name,
right,
then the conclusion is going to be yours sincerely.
So it means Jore or the name of the recipient goes together with
yours
sincerely.
Perfect. Okay. But if you write Dear Sir, Dear Madam, the conclusion therefore is going to be yours
faithfully.
Then we are still going to go into that. So the salutation has to be there. Immediately after the salutation, let's get the subject heading or the subject taken. What is your letter about?
Right.
Is it a letter of complaint? If you write in small letters, please underline.
Right.
If you write in capital letters, let it be in capital letters. Don't underline. Because the subject heading, then it becomes very clear.
Yes.
Now, getting into the nitty-gritties of the letter, this is what I would recommend, Mr. Jordan.
Yes.
To say the letter should only have three paragraphs, it's okay.
Three paragraphs.
Three.
Okay.
The first one, the first paragraph.
Very important. Learners out there, three paragraphs.
Yes, the first paragraph should express the purpose. Why are you writing this letter? Let it be very clear.
Yes.
If you're complaining, state it very clearly to say you're complaining about this that you bought here, and then this is what is happening.
Right.
In the second paragraph, you're going to give us the details of the complaint.
Yes.
You outline everything in detail.
Right.
And in the last paragraph, you're going to suggest solutions if they need solutions. If there's no need for solutions, you're going to express your views on that particular subject. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if the letter is going to have three paragraphs, then it's going to be okay. Which is your introduction, which basically speaks to the issue of the purpose. Let's get the detail of the issue. Let's suggest solutions. Let's express our ideas there. And then from there, that's where you're going to write, you know, you're thanking you in advance.
Yes.
You know, and then you write, like we said, dear sir, dear madam, let it be yours faithfully.
Yes.
And sign the letter and initial the letter. I think that one has to be, I need to repeat that.
Yes.
It's yours faithfully.
Yes.
You sign the letter,
mm-hmm,
and then you write your initials.
Okay.
Your surname and your initials.
Yes.
It should never be yours faithfully, name and initials, and then sign.
Signature.
No, it shouldn't be like that. We first, it's yours faithfully, we sign, and then you write your surname and your initials.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mr. Fetty. I think now we have to break a little bit, then we'll come back and continue with longer transactional writing. Thank you very much. Welcome back, our matriculants. We are presenting here English First Edition Language Paper 3. We are focusing today on longer transactional writing. Before we went for the commercial break, we were dealing with a formal letter. Now we are going to focus on an informal letter. I am with Mr. Petty here. Mr. Petty?
Yes, informal letter or a friendly letter. Well put. You see, there's something that I also want to highlight, Mr. Jory.
Yeah.
That, you know, like they said, English, it should be less formal and more functional. Okay. Meaning that a lot of things that are done in the classroom situations are going to be faced in reality. That's the functionality part of it. We would be expected to write a lot of letters, more especially your application letters and stuff. But now let's get into the issue of the informal letter, which is your friendly letter.
Yes.
This is the letter that you're going to write to your friends, to your family, and these are the people that are very close to you. These are your, you know, your circle in simple terms.
Yes.
You are really very aware and you know them very well.
Yes.
And that's why it's now called an informal. Okay. Quite interesting, because the difference between formal and informal, it's the prefix in, you know.
Yes.
So it's the prefix in. So now with the informal letter, this is what we're expecting. We are not expecting two addresses.
Only one.
It's only one address.
Only one
address.
Okay.
Which basically becomes the address of the sender. And this address of the sender should also include the date.
Okay.
Remember what I said with the formal letters? Don't punctuate the address.
Okay.
And when you write the date should be written in full.
In full.
So we want to see at least an address.
And that address has to be your address, but not necessarily the actual address of where you come from. You have to be creative.
You have to be creative. Okay. You can as well, in this case, it's informal letter. You can as well use street addresses.
Street addresses are
it's
allowed here.
Perfect, yes.
Okay.
But we want to try and discourage candidates from writing, you know, Dendron Secondary School, P.O. Box, whatever. They should not do that.
Okay.
Please, they should not do that.
Right.
I think I have indicated, you know, why they should not do that.
That's
Let them be
true.
Creative, come up with addresses, and that are really accurate. And they are always going to be okay.
Wow.
Immediately after the address, we also have the salutation.
Yes.
And in the salutation, they need to write, Dear Komucho.
Yes.
Remember what I said. I said these are friends and family. You're writing to your friends, to your family.
So
and surely you know
the
them. You basically know their names.
Mm.
And because you know their names, you should not just write, Dear Friend.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Or, dear uncle.
Or dear uncle. You can just write Dear Uncle John.
Yes.
I think now it's basic. It's very clear. And even Uncle John would feel that you're talking to him.
Exactly.
You see, your friend, don't just write Dear Friend. Write Dear Komucho. It's your friend. We know.
Mm-hmm. While we are still on this Dear John, I normally see some learners writing Dear, then colon, then John. Please tell the learners that we don't punctuate. There shouldn't be any colon.
No colon. Don't punctuate. It should be Dear Komucho without any punctuation.
No full stop even after
no
Komucho.
No full stop even after Komucho.
Right.
It's not Dear and then colon and then go. No.
We don't
you
do
would
that.
Reserve the colons for your dialogues and your interviews if you are going to. If you feel you need them and you like them so much, they need to be used in your dialogue and in your interviews.
Okay.
It has to be Dear and the name.
Right.
And it has to be very, very, very specific.
Right.
That's why I'm saying you shouldn't say Dear Friend.
Yeah.
Because you might not know your friend. So talk to Komucho if it's Komucho. Dear Komucho. And you know it's your friend.
Right.
And immediately after that one, let's get to the introduction.
Okay.
We want to have the introduction. Remember the introduction, the body and the conclusion. They need to be there.
That's
but we don't write introduction. We don't write body. We don't write conclusion.
We don't do that.
So in the introduction, in the informal letter, this is where you're going to express your greetings. You greet these guys.
Right.
You even tell them to say maybe it's long that you have seen them.
Right.
You can say whatever you want to say, but you need to make sure that you understand what the question is saying. Because if they said your friend has lost his mother, and you need to write.
You can't say it is my greatest pleasure.
You can't say that.
Okay.
You need to read between the lines to say this. You need to express a tone of sadness and sorrow.
Right.
You might say, yes, you're heartbroken to write this letter to your friend.
You have to use the correct register.
Exactly. The register needs to be appropriate. Remember what I said. The audience, the issue of the format, and also the issue of the register as well. They are really, really very important. So you see, the another issue that you are highlighting here, which it's very important, it's before you answer the question, you need to underline the most important words in the question.
Okay.
Like we're saying, you're writing an informal letter to your friend, and they said your friend has lost his mother. And you can't say, I am very happy to write this letter. You can't say
that. You can't do that.
You know, you need to read between the lines and really be contextual in terms of what is happening there.
Right.
So they need to greet. They could say whatever they want to say.
That's the introduction.
That is introduction.
Then
we get to the main issue, which basically would be the reason why you're writing this letter. If you're expressing your condolences, you would express your condolences. You will encourage and motivate your friend. You might even say to your friend that you're also available as a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You give more flesh to what you are
in the second
paragraph. In the second paragraph. And in the last paragraph, that's where you can express your wish.
Okay.
To say you wish everything would be okay.
Right.
Very soon, maybe you shall be meeting. Maybe you might be visiting this guy. And then this guy must also extend your regards to the family as well.
Right.
So that should be in the last paragraph.
Okay.
But if you were to go into the details, if you have planned this before, you would have a lot of issues that are really going to be pertinent to the question. Then that's where you're going to conclude your letter. It's your friend.
Yeah.
You can write your friend.
Your friend, then
you write your name.
Where should the name be? Just in the same sentence?
No. It should not be on the same sentence.
Please emphasize that.
It should be just underneath your friend.
Okay.
Like when you write yours sincerely, because here you can use sincerely.
Right.
You can say yours sincerely, then your name underneath.
Underneath. Without a surname this time.
Without a surname, just your name.
Because your friend knows
you. It's your friend knows you.
Okay.
And at the same time, I think candidates should also be very careful in terms of spelling, you know?
Okay.
They would just write sincerely and spell it awkwardly, so you understand.
Right, right.
So it has to be sincerely. Sometimes the way we pronounce them is the way we write them. Your sincerely.
Okay, which means it's S-I-N-C-E-R-E-L-Y.
Sincerely.
Okay.
Yes, then you write your name.
Then you write your name. And
if you don't want to use this one, of course, you can write yours affectionately.
Yours affectionately, okay.
Could, that's which could also one. Be challenging to some candidates as well.
Yours
in terms
affectionately.
Of affectionately, yes.
Okay. Or just, what about those learners who write with love?
Which is okay.
Name. Okay. It's, with
it's,
love.
It's acceptable,
then
yes.
Then the name underneath.
Because sometimes you might be writing to your parents. You might write your son, then your name.
But
you might write your daughter, then your name.
But they should never be yours faithfully in an informal letter.
We don't want to see that.
Okay.
It's that one, it's uncalled for.
Okay.
Nor yours faithfully in the informal letter.
Right.
Use your friend, use yours. If you can't use the other ones,
right.
The easiest one is yours sincerely.
Yours
and
sincerely.
Get the spelling right.
Get the spelling
so that
right.
You need to be, you would be handsomely rewarded. Remember, you know, it's easy when we deal with these ones. That's why I'm saying candidates should get above 25
right,
out of 30.
Right.
Because we know exactly what is going to be said there.
Right.
And if they get to understand the format and the structure of the letters, then it becomes very simple. Let me give you a typical example.
Right.
In the formal letter. If they going to teach to say they've got two addresses,
right.
The salutation, the subject heading, there's going to be a correct conclusion.
Right.
You see what is left there, it's only the contents
the
of
flesh,
the letter.
Yeah. Okay.
Because otherwise, almost everything is already there.
Right.
So there's no way that the candidate would get less than 10 or less than 15.
Right.
Because this, the format itself, it's up to scratch.
Wonderful.
The very same thing happens with the informal letter.
Yeah.
The address should be there. The salutation, dear John, whatever, should be there. Your introduction, do whatever you want to do with your introduction.
Right.
Then give the details. Always be relevant to the letter. Let me just look at one letter here, Mr.
Okay.
Jory, just the informal letter.
Okay, okay.
I will just read it out so that you understand. They said, a local musician is offering free music lessons to the to those who are interested.
Right.
You would like to encourage your cousin
right.
to enroll to these lessons. Write a letter to your cousin asking him or her to enroll for these music lessons.
Okay.
You see, the bottom line here is,
right.
It's not you who is enrolling.
It's your friend.
It's your cousin.
Right. Your
what
cousin
are you do? What is your role? Your role is to encourage your cousin to do what? to enroll.
Okay.
You understand? That is the bone of contention.
Right.
I think also in your September 2021, there was a question, the friendly letter, which basically they said your friend has passed matric very well. And after passing matric very well, your friend is stressed because the friend cannot further, you know, his or her studies.
Okay.
Because of, you know, financial issues.
Right.
Then they said you need to write a letter to cheer your friend up.
All right.
You see, the bottom line now, it's your responsibility is to do what?
To cheer your friend. Okay.
So in simple terms, in your introduction, you can say, you know what, you of course you're worried, maybe you're heartbroken, but at the same time, maybe your friend should also be grateful that you managed to pass. Exactly, which is one thing which is also very important.
Right.
And then now you can cheer your friend up, maybe look for bursaries, maybe you can go for, you know, your peace jobs, maybe you can be doing your driver's license and whatever. It's not the end of the road. You know all this kind of...
Encouraging. No, thank you
so
much.
So we need to look into that as well.
Thank you so much, Mr. Peter. I think we've covered enough ground concerning letters. The next one that we're going to be looking at is...
your obituary.
Let's get into the obituary. Okay.
So the bottom line with the obituary, Mr. Jore, is that with the obituary... The examiner will tell you to say, this and this person has died in your community. Maybe it's a businessman in the community.
Right.
Maybe it's your uncle, maybe it's your aunt in the family.
Right.
And the family or the community is asking you to write the obituary of the deceased.
Yeah.
And they would say, once you're writing the obituary of the deceased, also pay tribute. So you see, these would be said, also pay tribute. So it's a must that when you write the obituary, you must pay tribute. So now, what are the aspects that we need to look out for?
Maybe before we continue, what do you mean when we say because this word tribute may be a bit of a challenge to other learners. That's why probably they will fail to pay tribute because they don't know what they have to do. When they are paying tribute, are they showing that this person who has passed away has been very important in the community or in the family? What are they doing there in terms of tribute?
I think you have nailed it there.
Okay.
Because it's about the positive impact that the deceased had in either in the family, in the community, in society, or in the country as a whole.
Right.
Because some people are larger than lives, if I were to put it that way.
Yes, I like
that.
They're
not only, you know, confined to their community.
Right.
There is a lot that they are doing for the nation as well.
Right.
So when they pay tribute, they should give us, you know, the important aspects, the important contribution, which is very positive, that the deceased had in the lives of the members of the community.
I have seen some learners just writing one statement, maybe to say he is the founder of the orphanage that is in our community. Is it enough to fetch some handsome marks, as you always say?
Yeah, not really, not necessarily. But you see, we appreciate that at least the candidate has indicated something that is related to paying tribute.
Right.
Because being a founder of the orphanage and stuff, it's a positive contribution in the society.
Okay.
And it makes a lot of difference.
Right.
But we would expect the candidate to give us more details.
Right.
Because this guy was not only, you know, a founder. There was also something that he was also doing in the community.
Okay.
So give us more issues that are related to tribute. At least the candidate would be credited, but would not be handsomely credited. Unlike the other candidate who's going to tell us to say, this guy was a founder of this orphanage, he was donating blankets, he created a lot of employment in the community.
Wonderful.
He was somebody who was respected and loved by people because he was selfless, he was very generous.
Right.
You understand what I'm talking about here?
So
that this guy loved these kind of ways. Maybe he was offering free lessons to the matriculants.
Right.
Maybe he was making them, he was trying to help them with the applications to the university.
Okay.
You see, those statements hold a lot of water.
Right.
And that's where he would be saying, yes, this is a very beautiful...
The examiner at times will just say to the learners, to the matriculants, your classmate has passed away.
Perfect.
Then what kind of tribute can we pay for a classmate?
I think as these guys are doing, you know, like you, My Children, My Africa as your drama.
Right.
And the other short stories as well.
Right.
There could be a lot that they need to learn there.
Okay.
You see, the beauty of integration comes into the picture now.
Right.
Remember, if I were to talk about the candidate, this is a very tricky question. I like it.
Right.
Because sometimes these candidates have got pre-learned, you know, obituaries.
Right.
And they would say, your classmate.
Now
and they would
start writing to say,
this guy has been working at ESCOM for this and this time, he has been married, and this guy was only doing matric,
right,
or maybe grade 11.
Yeah.
So the kind of tribute that they need to pay, it's maybe this guy was a leader of the RCL.
Okay.
Maybe he was a very good, you know, a mathematics, you know, learner.
And maybe the chairperson of the science club.
Exactly that. You know? And maybe the punctuality part of it. This guy was always the first one to come to class.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was taking his time to inspire and to present a lot of speeches maybe within the school year.
No, I understand.
Which is basically the kind of impact that the particular, you know, candidate or the particular learner had in that particular institution.
Okay.
So there's a lot that these candidates could talk about.
All right.
There are issues related to sports. Maybe he was one brilliant athlete who was always, you know, collecting trophies for the school. We need to see that.
Yes. So is there something else that you want to emphasize on the obituary?
Yes. Let me, because we have not really got into the
So
I want us to get
into the
details of the obituary. So what we want to see is your biographical information. You see, there are issues that must be included. These are the must be.
Okay.
We don't compromise on these ones.
So you say like your name of the deceased information.
Yeah, which basically would speak to your name, the name of the deceased has to be there. The date of birth of the deceased.
After the name, maybe the date of birth.
Yes. Let's also have the date of death.
Date of, okay.
Very important. Mm-hmm. Because if you write the obituary and you don't indicate the date of death, then we take it this guy did not die. Because the date,
you didn't give us the date.
You see now. Let's also have got the place where the deceased was living.
Right.
Yeah, or maybe the place where he was born. Let's also, you may as well include, that's why I'm saying you may as well.
Yeah.
This one you may include the cause of death.
Okay.
Let's see the cause of death.
On the cause of death, I can see you want to go to the next point, but let me just ask something, because I have seen it and I corrected some learners to say, but you are not medical doctors.
Yeah.
You can't be so specific to say the person died of HIV, for example. So on the cause of death, are they just supposed to say after a brief illness or car accident? Or
I think that's a way to go, because previously they would say after a long illness, after a short illness, and not becoming specific to say the illness was cancer or was HIV and AIDS.
Okay.
But because it's creativity, you can allow them room to bring that to the fore.
Okay.
But the bottom line is it's not a must that they need to include that. They may include it
if they
feel it needs to be there.
Mm-hmm.
If it's, they should not say after a long illness and they said it was a car accident. You know, the two don't really speak to each other.
Yeah.
If it's car accident, let it be car accident.
Okay.
If the deceased was stabbed, let it be that way.
Okay.
But as long as it's going to be indicated there.
You
let's also see the date of the funeral.
Okay.
The date of the burial.
Mm-hmm.
I like this one because this is where I would say to you, vocab is very important.
Right.
That somebody is going to be buried on this day.
Mm-hmm.
And someone would say, this guy is going to be laid to rest.
Okay.
I really love the second one.
And
which basically saying it's going to be laid to rest.
I think that takes me back to when you are telling the audience to say has passed away, we have to use euphemisms there.
Exactly.
We can't say has died.
Died. No.
We say has passed away.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's why we're also continuing with the very same thing to say
laid to rest.
Exactly that.
Okay.
So we need to see that one. If the date of burial is not there, let's at least have the date of memorial service.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Let's have, you can have both the date of the memorial service and the date of the funeral, but let's have at least one of them. Of the two.
Right.
As well, they also include the position of the deceased in the family.
Position.
That this guy was the first born son and whatever.
Okay.
Now let's quickly go to the issue of paying tribute.
Okay.
This is where we said this guy has donated this one. He was involved in charity. He has created employment by taking this one. He was selfless. He was very considerate. Maybe he was God-fearing.
Right.
You remember in the transforming moment, Thinam Tlope?
Yes.
You know, and she was a star.
Right.
And then you remember Bulela was
a good singer as well,
you know. So you need to indicate those ones to say God-fearing, was a disciplinarian, passionate about this one. These are his famous words, and this is what he wants. And then key survivors should be there.
Okay.
Let's have the key survivors. Let's have the names of the key survivors.
Right.
And then you just write RIP, which is rest in peace. Do not ever right, translate your Sipedi into English and said, because you know your clan is it's Tweni. Then you said, right in peace, Babu. Don't
now
say
you
that.
Don't do that. Yeah. Now, thank you very much, Mr. Peter. I think we have to go for a commercial break now. Then when we come back, we'll continue with the other longer transactional text. That's what we are dealing with today in your English First Additional Language. Welcome back from the commercial break. It's English First Additional Language. We are dealing with longer transactional writing. Before we went for the commercial break, we were dealing with an obituary. Right now, we want to focus on the review and the dialogue and Mr. Petty and the speech. Okay, yes. Fantastic. Thank you, Mr. Petty.
Welcome. Let's get to the review. Remember, a review, it's an individual response to the work of art.
Okay.
It could be a book review or a film review.
Okay.
But basically, the basic principles apply to both.
Yes.
So candidates should expect a question maybe on reviews, either a book review or a film review. So when writing reviews, the following must be included in the reviews, Mr.
Yes.
The title of the book, it's very, very important. If it's a film, let's see the title of the film.
Title of the film as
yes.
well. Okay.
So the bottom line is that we want to see the title.
Okay.
Either of the book or
the,
or
film.
The film that has okay. been asked. Let's also see the author.
Okay.
The author in terms of the book, and then we're talking in terms of the directors and the producers if it's a film.
Yes.
And it also has to contain a brief discussion on the setting. Let's get to see the setting.
Okay.
When we speak in terms of the setting, where is the story happening? And when was this story happening? Is the where and the when.
Okay.
So the place and the period.
Yeah.
It's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a book, where was the book written? When was the book written?
Okay.
Like if it's a short story, they will say this one was written during a post-apartheid
yes.
and whatever. So we need to try and dissect it along those lines.
Wonderful.
The characterization needs to be part of your review.
Okay.
Give us the characters who are there in the review.
Right.
And that's where you're going to talk in terms of your protagonist, you know, your antagonist. That is your main characters and your supporting characters. You outline them and also outline their roles in that particular book or in that particular film.
Okay.
Then the themes are very, very important. Because every time when you're writing something, there's always going to be a central idea
yeah.
that needs to be very clear to almost everyone.
Yeah.
So share with us the central idea of the story or of the film, the moral of that particular story or the moral of that particular film. It has to be very, very clear.
Okay.
And you also need to include a brief quote.
Okay.
That is when you're going to give us a synopsis, a summary of your review of your book
right.
or your film, and it also includes a few quotes that
okay.
were part of the book.
Okay,
include them just to justify to say this is what this book it's all about.
Okay,
and you also need to try and bring your judgment and your recommendations.
Okay.
of the book
mm-hmm.
or the film, your judgment or your recommendation. This is how well the author discussed the plot. So you give us your views in terms of how well this is done. You can as well tell us whether it's something that you enjoyed or you did not enjoy. Is it something that you recommend that it should be seen or it should be watched or it should be read by the kind of people that needs to be there. Remember also in the film, we also have got a star rating.
Yes.
You can also rate the film. Whether if you give it a 1 star, we know it's not a very interesting kind of a film or a movie.
Okay.
But if you give it 4, you give it 5, you're like saying to the audience to say, this is a must-watch film.
Okay.
So these are the aspects that you need to include in your reviews.
In your review. Okay, so I think it's very clear when it comes to the review. You said the title must be there.
Perfect.
You must indicate the author or the director.
Yes.
Then brief discussions on this setting. Then characterization.
Correct.
Then you also highlight some of the themes, the morals, and to show that indeed you read the book, some quotes that you got
Perfect.
From there, and finally maybe your judgment
Perfect.
And your recommendation. Do you recommend other people to watch it or to read that book? Thank
Perfect.
You very much, Mr. Pitt. Let's move on to the next aspect that we're going to deal with?
So the next aspect after the reviews, we want to go to the dialogue.
Okay, the dialogue.
The dialogue. Remember the dialogue. I think we will deal with the dialogue simultaneously with the interview, because otherwise the format and the structure is basically the same.
It's basically
the only difference is that with the dialogue, it's a conversation, but with the interview, it's question and answer kind of a session. So what is important in the dialogue? I think, you know, sometimes these matriculants of ours, they write very beautiful dialogues.
Right, right.
Because what is important is to understand what the dialogue is about.
Okay.
Underline the most important ideas that needs to be discussed in the dialogue.
Right.
And immediately after that one, plot a scenario. Okay. Let's have a brief context.
Brief context.
We must have a brief context.
Okay.
And
for example, you wanted to say something.
In a brief context, we're like saying you are sort of like introducing your dialogue.
Okay.
To say this is a dialogue that is happening between Mr. Petty and Mr. Jore on this particular issue, or Mr. Jore is trying to persuade Mr. Petty to deal with this aspect.
Okay.
So that on its own, it's a brief context.
Okay.
It's a scenario that you're setting out so that when somebody goes to engage with your presentation, he or she knows exactly what this dialogue is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have the brief context in brackets. You wanted to ask something?
You have already answered that, Mr.
Or it's answered. Yeah.
Maybe I just wanted to say, normally on the question, they don't give the characters in the dialogue the names. So it's recommended that learners should come up with their own names. Okay.
Which is exactly what the point I'm going to go to now.
Right.
I spoke about the issue of the brief context.
Right.
And like I said, it is a dialogue that is happening between Mr. Jore and Mr. Petty. So we're giving each other. These are the characters that are involved in the dialogue. So we expect candidates to be very creative in such a way that they would bring the characters. And the names of the characters will be very clear. They should never use pronouns. They should never use me, him.
Okay.
It has to be the names. If they say it's a dialogue that is happening between the principal and one learner who happens to be, late almost every day in terms of coming to school, it's not punctual.
The perennial late comer.
Exactly that.
Right.
And therefore, you write the dialogue that is happening between you and the principal.
Right.
Then you're going to indicate to say the principal, you can say Mr. whatever.
You give him a name.
You give the principal the name.
Okay.
Then you give his learner a name.
And
then
not necessarily your own principal's name.
No, not necessarily your own
principal's name. And also not necessarily your name.
Exactly.
You create. It's creative writing. Okay.
So the names of the characters need to be there. Please, they should not use pronouns.
Okay.
Never
use pronouns.
Never.
To say you, me,
no.
You, him, me.
It shouldn't be that way.
Okay.
And then immediately after that one, the names of the characters should be on the left.
Okay.
And just immediately after the name, let's have the colon.
Okay.
You remember the issue of the colon when they would say, dear, whatever. I said,
they should reserve that for the dialogue. Yeah.
So let's say Jore and then the colon are going to be there.
Yes.
Then the utterances immediately after that.
Okay.
You see, and then let's preferably, if you get all these names on the left hand side,
right,
and then the names of the characters would be separate from the utterances of the characters.
Okay.
It becomes very presentable in that way.
So
they should not just mix almost everything,
right,
the names and the utterances. It shouldn't be that way.
Okay, fantastic. I think it's very clear that you don't continue with your sentences and bring it back underneath the name.
No, you don't.
It
should just come where you put your colon,
right,
because that's where you started your utterances.
Right.
That's where the sentence started. And then immediately when you come to the end of the page, you come and start right there where you started with a colon. So that the work would be very neat and very presentable.
Yes.
And at the same time, but like saying they should use stage directions.
Stage directions.
These are words that are always going to help someone to understand the dialogue that is happening.
Okay.
These are words that express emotions.
Yeah.
That's where you see, remember in the My Children, My Africa, they would say surprised.
Right.
You see, these are stage directions. They would say, crying or looking sideways.
Tummy shrugging.
Exactly that. So those are stage directions. They are very, very important because they give a lot of meaning to your to your dialogue. We definitely need to see those
words coming out. Are they that important? Let's say it's just a dialogue without any stage directions. Will it get the same credit as the one that is infested with these stage directions?
It will never, never. Because when we apply the rubric, you see, basically we take that each and every candidate is moderate.
Right.
Then you, after engaging with the presentation, then you, that's where you would see to decide whether you need to go to the skillful or to the exceptional. Remember, by using rubric in this case.
Right.
Then you start from elementary, inadequate, moderate, skillful, and exceptional. So if this presentation, the dialogue does not have stage direction, it would never be an exceptional kind of a presentation. Right. But it would, maybe it could be skillful, yes, depending on the contents. On the contents.
Very important there, Mr. Petty. I hope our listeners are taking notes to say when you are writing your dialogue, you must always remember to include stage directions to beef up your dialogue. Okay.
Perfect. Another issue that is also very important, it's they need to be relevant to the topic, to the person. Be relevant, and their relevancy would depend on them understanding the question.
Yes.
And please, they should never start by long greetings. Good morning, good morning, how are you? I am fine. No. They should just go straight to the point.
Okay.
Because in this case, if they start there, they might never get to the point because of the number of words that they are expected to use. Then they should just go straight, hit it on the nail, and get with the conversation.
Let me say something about the utterances. I think here the examiner wants to check if this child is rich in the language. And one candidate just writes maybe a sentence of 5 words. Why are you late? That's the principal.
Yeah.
Then the learner, I was fetching water at home. Then the principal, you mustn't be late again. Then, what do you make of that? Those learners who just write short sentences.
It shouldn't. They should try to put a lot of flesh on the bone.
Okay.
So that whatever they're, if the candidate was fetching water, maybe the candidate could go further to say, because my mom wants me to fetch water every day. If I don't fetch water, this is what actually happens.
Wonderful.
And maybe the principal would also be creative enough to say, okay, if in that case I could see it's not your fault, it's basically something that comes from your family, then maybe might say, don't worry, I might have to engage the parents. And the candidate would say, maybe I might feel very much at ease if you do that for me, because I also am burning my, I've got a burning desire to come here on time.
So
you see, that's when you
where
the marks come from.
Okay.
Because you are justifying and dealing with this aspect. So they should never start by the greetings. They should just go straight to the
point.
Have a brief context. They need to use stage directions. Let them use names of the characters and the colon, and they should always be very relevant to the question, Mr.
Okay,
Jordan.
Thank you very much. Then when they close the dialogue,
It's not, if they said this is you were trying, Mr. Jordan was convincing Mr. Pate.
Right.
It does not necessarily end in you convincing me. You might fail as well.
Okay.
And it might end in suspense. Somebody might have to read between the lines to say, what actually happened after these ones?
Right.
Those ones have become very beautiful and well-written dialogues.
Okay.
So it does not, we don't necessarily get to the solution.
Okay. Is there anything else that we want to touch on? We are running short of time.
I think the
now.
Issue of the speech.
Running out of time,
the speech, let's quickly get to the speech because of time.
Okay.
They should not close for us. Let's get into the issue of the speech.
The speech.
Well, with the speech, they also need to understand, they need to underline the important aspects that need to be highlighted.
Okay.
They should never lose the purpose of the speech.
Right.
A speech is a written account of an oral address with a specific purpose in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose would be determined by the topic, like I'm saying.
Okay.
So when they write this issue of the topic, they need to be very clear. They need to get an introduction. The candidate could introduce himself and, you know, extend.
So with a speech, it's like somebody is on stage.
It's on stage.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's an oral address.
Okay.
With the audience that are seated there, which you might as well have to extend a word of, you know, gratitude to them that they are listening to you as well.
Right.
And that's why at the end of the speech, you definitely need to thank them for listening to you as well.
Before you leave this stage.
Exactly. In your introduction, you introduce yourself, you introduce your topic, then you mention important points about your speech. Then you conclude your speech.
Okay.
And then you extend your word of thanks. That's why I'm saying there has to be a sign of a good speech. The attention must be captured in the introduction.
Okay.
You must have a very captivating introduction that captures the audience's attention.
Mm.
And then you need to make sure that you are always going to keep your briefing, I mean your greetings in brief and very simple, but you outline the subject of the speech. Okay. Then you highlight 2, 3, 4 key points, and then you discuss each in the paragraph. Then you conclude.
Okay.
Like I said, you can also give a word of thanks to the audience for listening. You can give them a word of encouragement, depending on the topic of the speech.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mr. Petty. I think we have covered what we wanted to cover today in terms of longer transactional writing. So this was indeed a wonderful lesson, boys and girls. Thank you very much for availing yourself to listen to this lesson. It's Mr. Joret here together with Mr. Petty. Thank you and bye-bye.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.